And we want to look at the first chapter. And we will focus on the entire chapter, but we only will read a few verses beginning with verse 9. When you found it, please say amen.
Amen.
And the word of God reads on this wise. So Hannah rose up after they had eaten in Shiloh, and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord. And she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou will indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but would give unto thy handmaid a man child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head.
All right.
And this morning I want to use for a subject, great things happen when mama prays. Great things happen when mama prays. There's something about real mothers that stands out. Real mothers are not selfish when it comes to their children. They'll put up with the dirty diapers. They put up with the throwing up, the spitting up, the crying for hours at a time, and usually most dad is asleep. They give up their time and their sanity because the child is theirs.
All right.
They do this because they are real mothers. This morning we're talking about a woman that was a real mother. And her name is Hannah. Hannah was a very special woman because she was a rare woman. And I think this morning God wants us to hold her up and see Hannah and give her some type of admiration. Now, when you begin reading this story, you'll discover that Hannah has a problem. She's married to a man by the name of Elkanah. And Elkanah not only has one wife, but he's got two wives. And Hannah's problem is that she can't have kids. And somebody said, well, why can't she have kids? And the Bible says that, and God closed up her womb. Now, I know sometimes we try to explain ourselves around things, but the Bible says, and God closed up her womb. In other words, it didn't say that Hannah thought her womb was closed. It didn't say that Elkanah or other people thought, but it said that, and God closed up her womb. Now, if that's what the Bible says, then I believe it, and that settles it. But see, when you look in the Old Testament time, there will be several instances where the women's womb was closed up. In the days of Abraham, there was a king by the name of Abimelech, and he had a habit of killing men and taking their wives to become part of his harem. Now, Abraham, evidently his wife Sarah was real pretty, and so Abraham did not want his wife to be taken by the king, and he didn't want to be killed by the king, so he passed off his wife as being his sister. But before the king could take advantage of Sarah, God appeared to him in a dream and said, now, that's Abraham's wife, and if you mess with her, then you're a dead man. So apparently the king was frightened, and so he returned Sarah to Abraham, and he said, now Abraham, not only am I giving her back to you, but I want you to pray for me as well. And the Bible says, and Abraham prayed to God, and God healed Abimelech, his wives, and his slave girls. In other words, what had happened was God made it where none of these women could have children. But then, after he prayed, things changed. You can read the story in Genesis chapter 20, verse 17 and 18, but there's no question that when God closes up something, can't nobody open it but God. See, sometimes it seems like doors close and we do all we can to try to change it, but sometimes God has to close some doors in order to get our attention, and once he gets our attention, he shows us that I can open and close them whenever I get ready to. But here in 1 Samuel, it tells me that when God closed up Hannah's womb, I began to ask, now, God, were you punishing Hannah? And did God hate her for something that she had done? And I'm going to tell you, I don't think so. Because, see, when you read this story, and just like today, there are some messy people in life that will try to create whatever havoc they can in life to make you and I miserable. But what I tell you, God has got the last word. You will see that her husband, other wife, had some kids. And every year they would go, and they would go to the temple to pray. This lady would make fun of Hannah. In other words, I got children and you don't. And right now, it seems like some folk are prospering, and they will tell you, I'm not serving God, and I've still got this in there. But let me tell you, everything that's material ain't always a blessing. All right. Now, when you look at this story, the Bible said that even though the other wife had kids, it said that Hannah was his favorite. And see, when God puts you on the favorite list, let me tell you, can't nobody take you off. Now, in 1 Samuel here, there's nothing that says that Hannah was evil or crooked. In fact, she's a godly woman, because we see her that her heart is broken, and she's praying with all of her heart and saying, God, if you will, please help me. And right now, there's some folk in here dealing with some situations that you're trying to handle yourself. But all you got to do is fall down on your knees and say, God, please help me. Now, if you know that you messed up, don't nobody have to tell you that you messed up. You know that things not going too well. You know that you can't make it from check to check. You know that you're going through bouts of depression because the folk in your life are speaking things and you believe in what they say. You better fall on your knees and say, God, I need you to help me. God's eyes was looking through the earth, and he was trying to find a good woman that he could mold and shaping to the type of mother that he would have her to be. Now, this is what happened. Back in the day, Israel was a nation. And if we look, we'll find out that the nation of Israel was going through a crisis. And when we look in Judges chapter 17, verse 6, it tells us that in those days, Israel did not have a king. So therefore, everybody did whatever they wanted to do. And so you just do what you do. So everybody did what they felt like doing. And you can imagine that when there's nobody in control, everything is out of control. So it wasn't a pretty sight. The Bible says that the whole nation of Israel had become corrupt. Even Eli, the priest, and his sons were not the best of folk, even though they were supposed to be God's people. So God had to bring about a change. He had to raise up a hero that could lead his people to righteousness. And see, the word of God says that I'll raise up a nation that will serve me. Now, you may decide this morning that you're not going to do what you're supposed to do, but God will let you live and die, and he'll bring somebody on the scene that will praise him. Can I get a witness this morning? Somebody ought to be praising him this morning. But God saw that Israel had to go through a change. He said, I got to bring a man that can step up and do what needs to be done. He needed somebody that could be a judge. He was looking for somebody that could be a prophet. He was looking for somebody that could be a priest. In other words, in order to train up that kind of leader for Israel, God was going to have the help of a very special mother. Now, I'm going to tell you something. We say that daddies are important, but daddy, let me bust your bubble this morning. Even Jesus Christ had to come here through a mother. God Almighty. See, I know that we can be sperm donors, amen, but you don't see men. That's the reason that God made mothers special. And the only way that he was going to increase and multiply this earth was going to be through the mother. So now he said, now I've got to find somebody that can lead the nation of Israel, and he's got to come through a pretty good mother. Now watch this. It don't say a whole lot about Elkanah other than he came to church. But see, God has got to have a special mother in order to produce leaders for kingdom building. Listen to what I'm saying. And so here, he said, now, I've got to raise up somebody that will be able to do exactly what they say that they would do. That's where Hannah comes in. Hannah was going to be not only a real mother, but Hannah was going to be a godly mother. And it's so hard sometimes to find godly mothers. Amen. See, I'm just talking about what I'm talking about. See, godly mothers lead their children in the way of righteousness. And even when your kids are wrong, mamas, you got to tell your kids, baby, you're wrong. Amen. Hannah was going to be a real mother. And she was the kind of woman that God could count on and work through in order to shape his nation. And when we look around at our kids today, we don't know who's the next leader, who's the next president, who's the next minister, because God, with his own infinite wisdom, brings us into this world through women. And you know, first, he had to bring Hannah to a point. Why would God close up her womb? First of all, God has to bring us to a point in our lives to be desperate enough to do what he wants to be done. Y'all missed that. I know sometimes, let me give you an example. Sometimes in life we pray and we say, God, if you'll do such and such and such, I'll do such and such and such. But God has to take us to a point of being desperate enough, bad off enough, embarrassed enough, to the point that we're ready to do what God says to do. No, he didn't stop Hannah the first year. Sure, she had been embarrassed. So he said, I'm going to let Hannah get to a point of being desperate enough. And you know, sometimes God uses pain to guide us to where he's trying to take us. Heard one preacher once said that God whispers to us in our pleasures, speaks in our conscience, but God shouts in our pain. In other words, he uses a megaphone when we're going through pain, and sometimes your pain can get so bad that the only thing you can say is, Lord, have mercy. And see, sometimes that pain is what will make you turn around and do what you're supposed to do. So in her pain, Hannah comes to a decision. And when we look in verse 11, she says, now God, I'm hurt. But if you'll give me a son, I will give him back to you, God, for the rest of his life. Now, see, what we don't understand is that every firstborn thing belongs to God anyway. That's what he said in the word. Exodus chapter 13, verse 2. I know somebody don't believe. Exodus 13, 2. God says, consecrate me. All right. Every firstborn male, the first offspring of every womb among the Israelites belongs to me, whether it be man or animal. Look, that's what the word says. So Hannah's firstborn son was supposed to belong to God anyway. But so often they would come and they do what they called redeeming their children. See, when you look in the book of Numbers chapter 18, verse 16, I'll tell the story in a minute. It says that when your son is a month old, then they would go and redeem him for a certain price of silver. In other words, they would say that I'm going to give him to God right now. But after about a month, they would take him back. Now watch this. How many of us have said, God, if you do this and that and other, God, I'll give you my praise. God, I'll give you my tithe. But as soon as God got you past the bad point, it seems like we forget about what we told God. But Hannah's vowing here, she said, God, give me a son. I'll let you keep him, and I won't redeem him back. In other words, in her mind, she had already decided that if God gave her a son, that she was going to give him back to the priest to raise so he could be brought up worshiping and serving God's people. Now, where do you think she got this idea from? Did she just dream it up? No. God places visions in our hearts and in our minds. And when she finally came to the point in her life that she was willing to give her son to God, God began to listen. And I can see it right now in my spiritual mind that her womb began to open up. And after a while, she became with child. And see, somebody may not believe, but let me tell you, the prayer of the righteous availeth much. And today we need some more praying mamas. Because see, when you sincerely pray to God, God hears your every plea. Somebody this morning ought to be saying, God, I'm praying right now for my children. God, I want you to bless my children. God, I want you to keep your arm of protection around my children. There's nothing like a praying mama. All right. And so finally, when God does what he does, you can't beat God doing. I'm going to repeat what I just said. You missed that. When God does what he does, you can't beat God doing. All right. Now, here's a woman that could not have children. But because of her prayer, if you read on in the second chapter and around verse 21, you discover that God goes beyond the call of duty. And it says, and the Lord visited Hannah. It's something about when God comes and visits you. See, when God comes and knocks on your door and you let him in, there's something about powerful in the visit from God. And the Bible says that she conceived, watch this, and she bare three sons. Don't nobody usually tell you about this. They tell you about Samuel, but she bears three sons, and two daughters. Now, here she goes from being the mama with the least amount of children to the mama with the most amount of children. And so now Elkanah, her husband, is real happy. But see, when you get on your knees and pray, God will make things U-turn for you. What are you talking about, preacher? If when you begin to pray, God will make you the lender and not the borrower. When you begin to pray, God will make you the head and not the tail. When you begin to pray, God will begin to bless you and not curse you. And see, somebody this morning needs to fall down on your knees and say, God, I need you. God, I can't make it without you. Said, Father, I stretch my hands to thee. Because, Lord, I don't have anybody else to call on. Somebody here said, I called on the Lord and I got an answer. Anybody here called on Jesus and got an answer? And see, let me tell you, after her firstborn got here, his name was Samuel, and Samuel was one of the greatest men of the Old Testament. He was the last of the judges, but he was the first of the prophets, and he was such a righteous man. But see, I can see right now that later on she had three boys and two daughters, but I tell you, we don't even know what their names are. But I can see Hannah right now saying, guess what? The tide has turned. It's my season. It's my season. I'm ready to walk in my season. He said, but now you used to pick with me because I didn't have no kids. But I can see her right now. Can I use my sanctified mind right now? I can see her right now going right there, reaching into her wallet and say, let me show you the picture of my baby. They tell me his name is Samuel. And let me tell you, your kids don't have this position right now, but my son is the judge. And all your children got to come by the judge. And I can see Panah saying, why is it your children? But I can hear Hannah saying, it's because I bow down on my knees and I cry to holy to the matchless Lamb of God. Anybody here ever bowed down on your knees and called on the Lord and got an answer? Somebody said, God will. Sure. God will truly answer prayer. See, first of all, and I'm about to close here, a godly mother believes in the power of prayer. They'll pray for their family to the point of weeping. And sometimes you got to shed some tears in the midnight hour. I want to tell you, but you say, God, I want you to bless my children. God, I want you to save my children. God, I want you to keep your arm of protection all around my children. That sounds like a mother's prayer to me right now. And we told, the Bible said that she prayed with tears. And the word said, if you sow in tears, you'll reap in joy. Anybody here cried in the midnight hour? Somebody had to cry all night long. But early in the morning, you got joy down in your soul. You say, God, I thank you for keeping me all night as I slumbered and slept. Watch this. She prayed, believing that God heard her prayer and gave her the desires of her heart. And secondly, after God gave her a child, the Bible said that she gave her children back to God. Some parents, some of you need to get your kids out of your apron pocket. You need to get them off your apron string. You ought to get them off your heart and give them to God. I know we say we keep them on our heart, but see, hearts get made to be broken. But see, when I put everything into God's hand, the word says that everything will be all right. Anybody here say, I turned it over to Jesus, and he took care of all of my problems. See, when you give your life over to him, you'll be able to say, for God I live, for God I'll die. And see, the third thing and the last thing is a godly mother always keeps her word. I know we got some lying mothers here, but God allows us to turn it around. See, the Bible says, Hannah said, God, I'll give him back to you.
And after the child was born, I can see her saying, I got tears in my eyes. But God, I promise you that I was going to give him back to you. And sometimes you can't stand to see your kids go, but you got to give them to Jesus. And I can see her leaving him at the temple and said, now, Lord, I'm putting him in your hand. Then right now, I can't help but seeing another mother by the name of Mary that had a baby, wrapped him in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger. And I'm sure Mary was a praying mother, because here it was, Mary was pregnant. Amen. Mary hadn't married nobody. And you know how they say, talk about everybody. And they say, I know ain't nothing to her, because look, she's pregnant before she got married. But I can hear the words saying, blessed are thou among women, because what's in you is from the Holy Ghost. And then they tell me, after she wrapped them in swaddling clothes, laid him in a manger, tell me he went to the temple, began to preach at the age of 12, and then about around age 33, he turned water to wine, gave sight to the blind, raised the dead. But then finally they marched him up a hill called Calvary. I can see mama saying, what are they doing to my boy? They said, they whipped him all night long, marched him up a hill called Golgotha, hung him high, stretched him wide. And as he hung there, he didn't say nothing about daddy, but he said, mama, behold thy son. It's something about a mama. But I tell you, I can't leave Jesus there. I can't leave Mary there. They took him down and buried him in an old dusty grave. They laid him down all night the first night, all night the second night. They said, where that mama's baby is? But early on the third day morning, mama's baby got up with all power, all power, all power in his hand. And I can see Mary saying, God, I thank you for giving me my son back. And they tell me he walked around the streets of Jerusalem, but after a while he left up in a cloud and said, the same way I'm leaving, I'm coming back. And one of these days, that mama's baby is coming back through the clouds. He's going to say, the Bible said, that the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we that remain shall be caught up forever to be with the Lord. Anybody want to see that mama's baby? Anybody want to see that mama's baby? Anybody want to see that mama's baby? His name is Jesus. 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 My elder brother, my babysitter, my company keeper, my Lord of Lords, my King of Kings, my daddy, my brother. His name is Jesus. Yeah. God needs. God needs. God needs some praying mothers. This morning, have I got any praying mothers? Mothers, I know life gets rough for you sometimes, but you gotta fall down on your knees and say, all to Jesus. I surrender. Quit trying to handle it yourself and say, God, I've given them to you. I'm giving it to you. And right now, your children, put them in God's hand. Put them in God's hand. They tell me Allstate is good hand, but God made Allstate. They tell me he got the whole world in the palm of his hand. Anybody here leaning and depending on Jesus? Have I got any praying mothers in the house? Have I got any praying mothers in the house? If I got any praying mothers up, let me see you stand on your feet praying mamas. Have I got any praying mamas? Have I got any praying mamas? Have I got any praying mamas? Yeah. 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 Can you say, I called him early in the morning. I called him in the midnight hour, and he stopped by. He stopped by. And answered my prayer. God will. All right, all right. God will. All right. Answer prayers for praying mothers. Yes, all right. All right. And right now, the invitation is given. All right. And God is saying, you can come right now. All right. All right. You can give your heart to Jesus. You can give your life to Jesus. Maybe you hadn't been the type of mother that you want to be. But I tell you, God shapes us. And God molds us into who he wants us to be. God has produced some great mothers that weren't necessarily brought up in the church. Amen. See, sometimes these church-going mamas try to look down on other mamas. But let me tell you, pot can't call the kettle black. Yeah. You want some great women? Call Rahab. You want the greatest woman? Call Rispa. Y'all don't know anything about Rispa. I talked about her last year. See, Rispa's sons were killed. And she said, went out there and said, I just want to get their bodies. So the bird don't eat them. Mama's even love after death. I'm not always talking about physical death. Sometimes we die sinful deaths. But mamas are still standing there saying, come on, baby. Come on home, baby. I got something fixed over here. Got some food cooked. Come on in. Nothing like mothers. May God bless you. And may God keep you. Let's give God some praise right now. He's worthy. He's worthy. He's worthy of all your praise. Looking for some praying mothers. Amen.